Welcome to the Victory Orlando podcast. We exist to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus and to connect them with their purpose. To learn more about us, visit us at victoryorlando.com. Thanks for listening. We pray that you are encouraged and inspired by today's message.
So great to be with you guys again. What an amazing opportunity we have to be not only in church, but in this church. We have a great church with amazing leaders, and I just want to give it up for your pastors, Pastor Chris and Heather. Doing an amazing job. Come on, are you grateful for Pastor Chris and Heather? And the entire team every single week, the worship team and all of those and the AV. Everybody that's watching your kids right now, I'm grateful for our kids team. Come on, let's give it up for our kids team. And if you didn't clap on any of those, come on, we can at least give it up for Jesus this morning in church. We have a reason to celebrate. I know it's raining outside, and, you know, in Florida, when it rains, it's kind of like snow in the north. Everybody thinks, you know, it's a disaster. Like, oh, I can't go anywhere. It's wet. Just bring an umbrella, drive a car, you know, put a poncho on. I mean, just go to Disney. You'll see crazy people still are outside in the rain. So you can get to church in the rain. And I'm glad that you made it here today. You could have done a lot of things, but you made a good decision this morning. And I believe that your time is going to be worth it, that you're going to leave with something added to your life. And more than that, you're going to leave being able to be a part of a church that's making a difference in other people's lives. That life isn't just about what is good for me, but it's about how I can make an impact. And here we are on Legacy Sunday. And what this is all about, it's about understanding that I have been blessed to be a blessing, that I have been entrusted to steward what God has given me and the talents that God has entrusted me with and the time that God allows me to have. And I'm going to utilize what I have in my world so that I can help somebody else in their world, and that it's going to actually be better because I showed up, that the world is going to be different because you're here, that people are going to get reached in Orlando because you're a part of this church. How many of you think that's pretty exciting? That's what leaving a legacy is all about. It's about doing something in this moment that will affect somebody else in another moment. And in this moment, you may give an offering and you may give some resource, but that's going to send a hope truck across our city. It's going to give presents to children that would otherwise not have any. It's going to help reach and support missionary work in different parts of the world and help build rescue homes for children whose parents have been, you know, killed or they've been abandoned in traffic. And if you haven't realized, those are important things, because here's why. Lost people and hurting people and all people matter to God. So as long as people matter to God, then we should do whatever we can to reach them. Four people believe that. That's all right. We're here to reach people. It's not about a building. I mean, we're meeting in a school. We don't have a steeple, but we know where to put our focus. Our focus is not on a place. Our focus is on a person. It's on the purpose that he put us here on the earth for, and that is to expand his kingdom across the face of the earth. So today I want to stir up your faith on the legacy and the impact that God has called you to make individually, but also corporately. That there's an individual impact, that if you were the only person on the earth, God would still use you to make a difference, Janae. That you can make an individual impact. But when you come together and you're a part of the church, then there's a corporate impact. That there's a bigger impact, Hector, than you can't make it by yourself, but you can make it when you come together in the family of God. In fact, we're a part of something great and fantastic today, and it's something that Jesus said he would do, and that is build his church. He said it over 2,000 years ago, and he's still making good on his promise of building his church. And so this weekend, scattered across the planet is people that are meeting in churches, that are in schools or buildings or out in open fields. In fact, I just recently heard about a church in Cairo, Egypt that meets in a cave. Over 5,000 people, that's a pretty large cave, over 5,000 people, they hold church in a cave on the outskirts of the city. Come on, if people in a predominantly Muslim-dominated region can meet in a cave and worship Jesus, then we can worship him here in Orlando. Isn't that right? You're a part of the kingdom of God, and it's expanding across the face of the earth. And don't believe what CNN tells you or Fox News tries to tell you or what, you know, any government tries to tell you or any ideology that people try to put on you. God is building his church, and Jesus said it, and the Holy Spirit is confirming it, and the gospel is going out. But guess what? He needs you. You can participate in what God has called us to do, and that is to reach people. And that's what the church is all about. That's what this church is all about. We're not just about, you know, coming together and singing a few hymns and then leaving and giving God a tip of our money. And then we do it again next week. If we want to do that, we should go do something else. I mean, there are plenty of clubs you can be a part of in Orlando, you know, that you can go down to a golf club and you can hang out on Sunday and have brunch. But we're not here just to be a part of a club. We're here because the church is active, that it's making a difference, and we're a part of what God said that he wants to build on the earth. So you and I have a great opportunity. Even if you're new to this place, I want to encourage you to get plugged in and planted in this place. The Bible says those that are planted in the house of the Lord, not those that frequently, you know, visit or those that just, you know, say hello to the house of the Lord, but those that are planted in the house. It says they will flourish. So how many of you like flourishing in your life? Amen. So I'm not in the message yet. So if you're wondering what's point number one, I haven't given you point number one yet. I'm here. I don't get to visit, you know, as much as I used to. So I just want to stir up your faith today before we even get to the word to help you to understand that in the Bible, when you think about legacy, it's about taking what you have, doing something with it so that people, when you're not around, can be impacted. And the responsibility of the church and the followers of Jesus that are a part of the church is to look at what I have, how I can use it to help reach someone else. So here's a good question to think about. How do you want to be remembered? You're going to be remembered somehow. So the question is, how do you want to be remembered? And based on what you do with what you have, the Bible says you will be remembered. You will make an impact. You will make a difference. You will leave a legacy. So individually, that's going to happen. But corporately, as a church, once a year, we get together and we say, you know what? We want to leave a legacy in this city and around the world. And part of that is taking resource that I have and giving it for a purpose of expanding the kingdom work through the local church. So I brought my legacy offering today. I know some of you are giving online. Some of you are texting to give. But I want to encourage you at the end of service today, Pastor Chris is going to come up. And he's going to take up the legacy offering. He's shared it with you. Some of you already have gotten in on that and given online. But I want to encourage you, if you got this envelope on the way in or you need one of these envelopes, we'll send an usher down the aisle. But be thinking about and, you know, be preparing your heart to give your legacy offering. And I thought about as I was flying in here to this weekend to be a part of, you know, sharing the word with you and this wonderful legacy time that we have. I thought, you know what? I don't want to just be a spectator. I want to be a participator. I don't want to get up here because I could just preach a word and then I could sit down and then let Pastor Chris give an offering and get, you know, share the word. But you know what? I said, you know, I want to bring my legacy offering. I want to bring my seed. So I brought this legacy offering from Sarah and I to sow into the house of God here because we believe in what God is doing here. We believe that Pastor Chris and Heather and the team and that you guys are making a difference in this city. And it's been a little over 4 years since this church started. And now to think of the impact. I mean, you don't always see it. You're in one of the two services on one Sunday out of now, you know, hundreds that we've had as a church. But I think about, you know, that's almost over 230 something Sundays that we've been able to gather as a church. And you know what? Not one week has gone by where somebody has not been here to receive Christ. Every single week. So just if you think about one person, that's over 250. And I know the statistics show us that more than 700 or 800 people have received Christ. So we're making a difference. Yeah, Pastor Chris is like, yeah, that's exciting. We're talking about people that were, you know, from death to life, from not knowing God into the family of God. It's okay if you don't get excited. At least your pastor does. He's leading you in the right direction. He gets excited about salvation. You get excited about increase. He gets excited about salvation. Get your priorities straight in the house of God today. Thanks for having me here, Pastor Chris. We'll get them on the right track by the end. So we're going to give at the end towards the legacy that I believe God wants us to have as a church. And it's through our obedience in one season that we see God do even greater things in the next season. And I look out and I see so many individual testimonies of people who've been impacted through this church. And you know what? I would encourage you to not overlook or devalue the work that God has done in your life, because it wasn't accidental. It was strategic. That when God placed a church in this part of the city, in this specific location, for whatever reason, he was thinking about you. Now, you can try to explain it away. You can try to minimize it. You can try to think, oh, it's just happenstance. I was driving. I saw a billboard. I got a card. I heard from somebody, and I showed up to this church that was meeting in a school. And, you know, they have this guy and this worship team, and they get really excited in such a small little space. And maybe, you know, you're just like, I just come because it's good energy. And it's an aura that I like about. No. It's strategic. It's on purpose. God was thinking about you. God knows your name. He knows your situation. He knows your family. So I would say, rather than think it's just accidental or your choice, embrace what God has for you and then allow him to show you what he has next in store for your life. Because if he can find you in the middle of a crowd, then he can find you anywhere. If he can pull you out of what some of you have been out of, and it was not very good. If he can pull you out of that, then imagine what he can propel you towards in your future. There's a greater legacy in your future that God wants you to leave. And the decisions you make today, listen, the decisions that you make today will determine the future you walk in tomorrow. So how great do you want your future to be? Well, the decisions I'm making today is going to dictate what I'm going to walk in tomorrow. The opportunity to sow a seed of your time, your resource, and the investment of the talents that God has given you, the opportunity to sow those things is all about the future that God has for you. The Bible says in Genesis that as long as the earth remains, there will be two things, seed time and there'll be harvest time. God has harvest for each and every one of you. And it's not just the resource and the zeros in your bank account, but it's a harvest of impact. It's a harvest of influence. It's a harvest of blessing. It's a harvest of increased favor for your family and open doors and opportunities. God has that in store for your life, and it's part of your legacy. But what you do today will determine whether you walk in that legacy tomorrow. So my challenge and encouragement for you today is a simple word that I want to share with you over the next 5 or 10 minutes, and that is make sure that you understand the importance of cooperating with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in John that Jesus was talking to his followers, and he was giving them a reference and an understanding, a viewpoint that he was one man in one place at one time, but he was helping them to understand that he was soon going to leave them, and he wasn't going to leave them all alone, high and dry, up a creek without a paddle. He was going to help them, and he was going to send someone. He was going to send the Holy Spirit. And it was through him sending the Holy Spirit after he ascended and the Holy Spirit descended that it allowed them to then be led, like the scripture says, by the Spirit of God. And it's the cooperation with the Spirit that helps us to walk into all that God has for our lives. I'll prove it to you. In the Bible, Jesus is saying this in John chapter 16. He says, the Holy Spirit, he will teach you and he will show you things to come. If he shows me things to come, that means I have an opportunity to obey. That it's a choice that I make. That if he's going to show me something, then that means I have to cooperate in order to follow what he is showing me. He doesn't push you into things that will come. He doesn't force you to things that will come. But he shows you things to come. That means I have a great opportunity on a regular basis to cooperate. Everybody say cooperate. For some people, that's even hard to say, because you're so uncooperative. The policeman, you don't want to cooperate. The co-workers, you don't want to cooperate. Your wife, don't want to cooperate. I mean, there's so many people in this world because we live in such an individualistic society that we think because I'm an individual, I don't have to cooperate. But friends, let me tell you, God, the creator of everything, he has more in store for your life. He knows more about your life. And when you cooperate with what he wants for your life, things don't get worse. David, things get better. ¿Entienden? ¿Entienden español o solo inglés? Who's in the crowd today? I'm just trying to understand. We're in Orlando, so that means, 40% de personas aquí entienden español. Right? Okay, at least your grandmother does. So, abuelos aquí entienden español. So, we need to, where was I? So, we need to understand that when we cooperate with the Holy Spirit and he shows us things to come, it's for a purpose. That he wouldn't lead me to people. He wouldn't lead me to a place. He wouldn't lead me as he's showing me. He wouldn't lead me because he's trying to take from my life the things that he wants me to have. No, he's trying to add to my life. But so many times we try to lead our lives and then include him. Let me show you. Okay, this is the job that I want. This is the place I want to live. This is the things that I want to have. Okay, God, bless it. All right, this is how I want to spend my time. This is where I want to go. This is the places I want to be a part of. Okay, God, now be with me. Now he'll be with you. Jesus said, lo, I'll be with you always, even to the ends of the earth. So he's going to be with you, but that doesn't mean he's blessing everything that you do. The Bible says he blesses the work of your hand, and he'll lead you to what you're called to do. He'll show you things to come, but you can choose to not follow. How have you ever seen that before? You're like, how did I get in this situation? God, are you not there? Yeah, he was trying to lead you another place. He was trying to lead you out of that situation. He was trying to help you, but you know what? You went on your own path and then asked him to bless it. But it's much better to follow his path. Three people believe that. Okay. So it's much better to follow his path because the Bible says the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. I have decided I no longer want to live my life my way and then include him. I want to live my life his way and I ask him to include me. In fact, that's really a picture of salvation if you haven't thought about it lately. Salvation was an exchange, your life for his. It was your purpose. You gave over. Okay, I'm going to give you my life. I'm going to give you. When you give him your life, you give him everything. That means your money. That means your time, your focus, your desire. Okay, God, you have it all. And then there's a divine exchange that takes place. Sometimes as a Christian, we take the exchange of salvation and then we leave aside everything else. We say, thank you that I'm saved, but now I'm going to live my life and I'm going to ask you to bless it. When in reality, there's a cooperation with the Spirit that brings greater things for your life than you could get by yourself. Jesus said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit and he will show you things to come. You know, about 5 years ago, I remember sitting in a Cracker Barrel in Tulsa, Oklahoma, with a dream and a vision to plant a church in the city of Orlando. And guess what? I didn't know anyone in Orlando. My wife didn't know anyone in Orlando. I vaguely heard about someone I didn't really like very much that lived here. And I, just being honest. And so I thought, and I'm not really a big Disney fan either. And so, there's plenty of other people I'm thinking, God, just send them. They love Disney. They travel all over the world to go visit Disney. And you're sending me to Orlando. Doesn't make any sense. I like, SeaWorld, but I don't like Disney very much. And so I remember sitting in a Cracker Barrel and only one or two people that I had talked to about this idea that I didn't come up with, that I believe God was leading us in planting a church for people that we didn't know, that we hadn't met yet, with best friends that we had not yet met, in a city that we didn't know any people. And I just thought, you know what? God must be in this because this is not my idea or my desire. And I sat across the table in a Cracker Barrel eating biscuits and gravy, and I talked to a person that you now know as your pastor, Pastor Chris. And I remember having a conversation with him, and I said, hey, Chris, what do you think about coming to Orlando and being part of a team and helping to plant a church in that city? And he was not a pastor. He was just working a regular job doing media and designing flyers. And I thought, well, if we're going to have a church, we need some flyers and a website. So we need Chris. And I don't think that him or I or others 5 years ago understood what God saw. I didn't say, Chris, come be the pastor of Victor Orlando. You know, we're going to plant this church. It's going to be fantastic. God's going to do great things. And then we're going to expand and do other mission outreaches. And you're going to become the pastor of this church. And you and Heather are awesome. You're going to be great. And you know what? I didn't know all of that. But there was a cooperation with the Holy Spirit where I just said, hey, I think that maybe you would like to be a part of this. I don't know if God speaks to you. But if he does, then come be a part of this. And you know what? It didn't take him weeks or months. But you know what? He left the meal that day. I think he called Heather and said, hey, we're supposed to be a part of this church plant in Orlando. Now, I don't know what her response was, but you know what? She cooperated with her husband, who was cooperating with the Holy Spirit, and they're here today helping lead this church. Come on, that's pretty amazing. So here's the phrase I want you to take home with you today that will help you, and that is this, that when you cooperate with the Holy Spirit, catch this, it won't always make sense, but it will always make a difference. It won't always make sense to you. Give. Give. Why should I give when I need? It doesn't make sense. But I give, and it's given. I bless, and my life expands. I share, and purpose comes to my heart. I follow where he leads, and I see things that I could have never seen by myself. So it doesn't always make sense. Talking in a Cracker Barrel about a church in a city where you don't know anybody when, get this, you don't have any money. It takes a lot of money to start a church. It takes people and money. And when you have zero of those two key components and all you have is the Holy Spirit speaking to you, you better be hearing from the Holy Spirit. It doesn't make sense. But you know what? It makes a big difference. You know the difference that it makes? You're here today. I didn't know Bobby. I didn't know Jay. I didn't know you guys. God knew. I didn't know. Pastor Chris didn't know. But it's the cooperation with the Holy Spirit that will open up things that you don't know. That's the part where it says he will show you things to come. So I imagine today, what is it on the horizon of your life, Gary, that God wants to show you that maybe you haven't seen yet? What is it that he wants to show you that is to come that you've been so preoccupied with what is, you don't even know what will be? But as you're in tune with the Holy Spirit, guess what, Liz? He'll show you things to come. And then here's the reality. When he shows it, you have an opportunity to cooperate. And on the other side of your cooperation, it's not worse. It's not deficiency. It's not less. It's more. Because you're now walking in the very purpose that God designed for you to walk in. It's through your cooperation that you see the impact of the people that God has called you to reach. So here's three byproducts of cooperating with the Holy Spirit. Take them home with you. You can chew on them and you can just dissect them and apply them to your life. There's three understandings of cooperation with the Holy Spirit. Number one is there's people. There's always a person, Justin, that's on the other side of your cooperation. Justin, you know, when I met Justin, he was a different guy than he is today. I met Justin because his brother owns a pizza shop in Orlando. And when we first moved here, Pastor Chris and I, we got these discount cards from a pizza guy, and he sent us an email. And he said, hey, you started a church in town. I'm sure he's just thinking about business or whatever. He sent us an email saying, hey, I know you started a church in town. I want to give you these cards and encourage you and, you know, just, you know, give you a discount at the pizza shop. Well, on the other side of receiving a pizza discount card was a worship leader. You figure that out. You can't script that kind of stuff. And I remember one day, Pastor Chris and I were trying to figure out, okay, we had some challenges and we had lost our worship leader one weekend. We needed one. You know, you got to have worship. It's a pretty important component of church. This guy was moving to another place. And I walked into the office of the pizza guy. And I said, you know, he asked me a question. He said, how you doing? I said, well, man, I really need some musicians. In fact, I just need a worship leader. Do you happen to lead worship? It's the guy who owns a pizza shop and runs commercial real estate. I don't know if my luck was running out or not. I was really desperate. And he said, no, but I have a brother. I said, you have a brother? Yeah, he's actually a good worship leader. I said, really? He's a good worship leader? I mean, how good? I mean, is he really good? Oh, no, he's a good worship leader. Now, in that moment, I will tell you, I doubted what he said. He said, no, he's a good worship leader. And I'm thinking, if he's a good worship leader, why have you? I known you this long and you're just now telling me you have a good worship leader brother? I don't know. Maybe it's like David. He was hidden on the backside of the desert. Who knows? I mean, the guy that God chose to slay Goliath was taking care of sheep when all the guys with the swords and the shields that should have been doing their job, they didn't get it, but God had a plan. And, you know, sometimes it won't always make sense, but it'll always make it. You know, probably 3 weeks at the most, because I was kind of holding back a little bit. At 3 weeks later, there was this guy with ripped jeans and strong muscles leading worship at Victory Orlando. His name is Justin. He still has the ripped jeans and the strong muscles. You couldn't write that kind of stuff in a plan that says, oh, this is how, you know what, in Church Planting 101, this is how you're going to get a worship leader. You're going to be so discouraged one day, you're going to walk into an office of a pizza guy and ask him for a worship leader, and he's going to say, I have a brother. And 3 weeks later, he's going to be leading worship in your church. I mean, most church planting courses will tell you that is crazy and it won't work. But how many years ago was that? 2.5, 3 years ago? So I just share that story with you and some of these stories to help you to understand that God has individual things for your life, for your purpose and for your calling. And it requires a cooperation with the Spirit. There's a story in the book of Acts, and I don't have time to share the whole thing, but Philip the evangelist hears from the Lord. He leaves the place where he is and he walks out on a dusty desert road and he finds one person. Now, if you're an evangelist, you're looking for multiplied amounts of people, and he's in a place where there's not very many people, and I'm sure he was discouraged, wondering, well, I cooperated, but now I don't see anybody, but there was one person. And sometimes your assignment might just be one person, but you don't know on the other side of that one person is a multitude of people. He met a man who was from the country of Ethiopia who had come to Jerusalem to study and to learn. He thought what he was looking for was in a place. He came to Jerusalem, but he left still wanting in his life. Some of you have thought, you know what? My purpose is in this place and this thing and in that stuff or whatever. And then you got it. You got the job. You got the promotion. You got whatever it was. And then you realize, well, that didn't do it. Because what you were looking for wasn't a place. What you're looking for is a person. And this guy was on his way back to where he came from, having not found what he was looking for. And right on that road was Philip. But Philip was at a place where the Lord called him out of where he was to go to a place where he didn't know because of an assignment that he had. But it involved cooperation. And in that moment, he was able to share with this guy about the scriptures. The Bible says that he received the word. He received salvation in that moment. And then the guy asked Philip a question. He said, well, what forbids me right now from being baptized? Now, I'm sure Philip, being the evangelist, you know, he would have wanted to baptize him, but they're in the middle of the desert. Not much water in the middle of the desert. He says, what forbids me from being baptized in this very moment? Philip says, well, I guess nothing, but we probably need to find some water. And it just so happens, do you think it was accidental, that as they were on that road, it just so happens they see a body of water off the side of the road in the middle of the desert. And I would suggest to you that it wasn't accidental that they found water at the moment the guy needed to be baptized. I would suggest it was God's plan all along. So catch this for your life. There, you may have felt like you're in a desert. You may have felt like it doesn't make sense. But God has a perfect plan. And he makes perfect sense of that which you don't understand when you cooperate with the Holy Spirit. There can be an oasis in the desert season that you feel. There can be provision in the midst of your circumstance. There can be breakthrough in the midst of the opposition that you might be in right now. And it's through your cooperation with the Holy Spirit. And you cooperate as you understand the word, as you're sensitive to the Spirit of God, and as you listen to the influences, the lives that God puts around you. Those are three primary ways that God speaks. He speaks through his word. He speaks through his spirit, the still small voice. And he speaks through the people, the influences that he puts into your life. And that helps you to cooperate. And on the other side of that, it may not make sense. Catch this. But it always makes a difference. You want to leave a legacy for your life? Here's how you do it. You learn to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Not just one day, but today. We cooperate today and we see amazing victory and breakthrough tomorrow. You receive that word today? You receive it? All right. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? I'm going to pray for you today. All over this place, your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. I want to pray for those of you that might be here and you recognize you're not right with God. Before we give our legacy offering, before we, pray for some of the other things that are represented in this room, I want to give you an opportunity. If you're not sure if you died today where you would spend your eternity, the Bible is very clear. And it says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, that God raised Jesus from the dead, that salvation will come to you. The Bible didn't ask you just to join a church or to say some prayers, but he asked you to surrender your life and confess Jesus as your Lord. The scripture says that sin separates you from him, but through the gift that Jesus gave us, the gift of salvation, that you can be reconnected, you can be forgiven of your sin, and you can be made right. Your righteousness doesn't come from your good works. Your righteousness comes from the free gift that he gives you. But you have to open it up and accept it. And today that's what I'm asking you to do. As your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, if you're here and you say, Pastor, I'm not right with God. There's some things in my life I need forgiven of. I need a fresh start. I need a new beginning today. I don't want to leave this place without knowing that I'm right with him. The Bible says his mercy is new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. So he's faithful to you today. All over this place, just by a show of hands, if that's you and you want to be included in this prayer, you say, Pastor, I'm not right with God, or I'm not sure, but I want to be today. Include me in that prayer. If that's you, just lift your hand all over this place so I know who to pray for today. Just lift it up wherever you are. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Who else? God bless you. All right. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask all of us here to just pray this prayer together. There's nothing magical that happens with the words that you say, but there's something supernatural that happens with the belief in your heart and the confession of your mouth. So why don't we all pray this prayer today as a sign of our surrender to him. Say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I recognize you as the Lord of my life. Jesus, have your way in me. Holy Spirit, fill me now with the strength that I need to serve you every day. In Jesus' name. Now let me pray for you today. Father, I pray right now for all of my friends that are here. I thank you for the individual stories. I thank you for the testimonies, the destiny that's in this place.